welcome you to our class for girls on what is the purpose of life, or what is the goal of life. So I'd like to ask those who are sitting, can you read this, can you see this, the whole board?
Someone, I'll ask you later on. Pranamaya means
the end of the week, their goal is sleep. Because they're so tired the whole week. And they think, if I can just get some good sleep, I'll be happy. Or eating. And also having a nice flat, up and balanced. These all come into the category number two. Prana means life. If you can just have a good life, then you're husband, wife, family, they're happy. And so this is the second category. This is another type of a goal of life. And the third category is called jnana maya. Now this is mental happiness. Now in this world nowadays, you find that many, many people do not have peace of mind. They don't, this goal is lacking. Even they may have these other things, they may have enough food, they may have a nice flat, but their mind is disturbed. So this is also part of today's modern civilization. One of the goals is to be mentally happy. Now under this jnana maya, you have got science, you have got philosophy, you have got the arts. These are all mental activities that make people happy. Some people like to just get into science. Some people like to do philosophy. Writing books. Some people are authors, newspaper reporters, actors, musicians. So this category is the third category, where your goal of life is to be mentally happy. So also the people of this world, they mostly fall into the first two, and then a little bit more civilized, they go into they get into the third category as well. So, how many of you are students now? You're going to school and you're learning subjects. Yes, many of you are students. So, students will go into the third category also because you're doing so much mental activity. Study now is exam time for some of you. So, mental, you're on the mental activity, and some people, there's so much into the mental activity, they forget even about eating and sleeping and all these things. There's so much into the mind. So is this going to hold our board up? Oh, that's wonderful. Such a good idea.
All these mental things, there's something higher than that. And
young people to figure out what is it like when you become very old. So I can tell you one thing, that one way you can know that you're old, when you look at the mirror, now when you're young, you look in the mirror and you say, yes, this is very nice, this is me, I'm young, and the mirror is telling me very nice things. But when you get old, then you start seeing things differently, and you look at yourself in the mirror, and you say, this is not me. And you remember when you were young and beautiful and pretty, but when you're old, you see so many wrinkles coming, oh, a new one, another one, well, and the gray hair has come gray, and you realize, I am not this body. I am a spirit soul. Because the body, you see how the body has changed, but inside, you feel very young. Even when you're old, you feel very, very, you feel like 16, 20. And you want to do the same things that you're doing when you're 16, 18, 20. Like swimming, now I used to do skiing from the mountains. Not anymore. Can't do that. So that is the fourth level. And it's called Vijnana Maya, or the animal's body. Is Ananda Maya. Now that's the level of eternal happiness. Hopelessful. And that is when you connect with your spiritual nature, you connect with Krishna, you connect with the spiritual world, you connect with all the people in the spiritual world, and you understand, well, there's a whole other place where I belong. I have a family there, I have a mother and a father, and friends, and maybe children, depends who you are in the spiritual world. And you connect with that higher nature, and once you connect, you don't even have to die, you can connect even before you die, and you feel very, very happy all the time. Because the problems of this world, they're in the lower levels. The problems of the world are in the food department, in the eating, sleeping, mating, defending, in the science and all these things. All the problems are there in these lower levels of goals of life. But in the highest level, there is no problem. So what we need to do is to make all of these first four levels connected with the top level, and then we'll be happy. You can make your eating connected with Krishna and with the spiritual world. You can make your sleeping, your mating, you can have children for Krishna. Very nice children. There is a way where you can get very nice devotee children. And also defending, Arjuna was fighting for Krishna. And also your mental activities, your science can be connected with the highest happiness. Your writing, your arts, your dancing can all be connected with the highest happiness. Oh, another thing you can write under Ananamaya, Bhakti Yoga. Bhakti Yoga, yoga means to connect. And Bhakti means in devotion. So we all want to connect to the highest level of happiness, where there is no more unhappiness. There is no more death. There is no more disease, old age. And everybody is dancing. Nobody's walking down in the spiritual world. Everybody's singing. Nobody's just talking. Everybody's singing, and everyone's dancing, and everybody, and the trees are not like these trees. You go to any tree, you can get anything you want. You can get, from the same tree, you can get fruits, flowers, samosas, kachoris, kandoori, and modak. I had modak today for the first time. You just go ask the tree. And you can also get clothes from the tree. It's called desire tree, kalpa vriksha. So just imagine, you don't have to have a job in the spiritual world. You don't have to go to work. You don't have to ride the train for 60 kilometers every day, or the bus, or whatever. You were telling me every day 60 kilometers minimum for a job or for school. And when you graduate to the higher levels, have flower airplanes, and you get in the airplane horse carriages, but they can fly also. Like Krishna's, when he went in his chariot, his horses, you know, they took off from the ground, and they reached 1,000 kilometers overnight. Yeah, overnight. I guess as fast as a train, but they didn't have to go on the ground, you know. Especially Indian roads today are not the best. So it's better if you take the spiritual means of transport. So we want to go there. We want to go to that. And not only that, everything, there's nothing boring there because everything is increasing. Here the happiness, you get it, but then it starts going down. But in spiritual world, it's only going up every second, every minute. More and more happiness, more and more love, more and more service for Krishna. So that's the highest goal of life. And you can have these other goals are also there. We have to say we do have a body. So food is necessary. All these things are necessary for us in this material world. But we have to do it in such a way that our highest goal, we go towards the highest goal while we are also trying to fulfill these lower levels of realization. So let's go into more detail. Now, when you're just a newborn baby, then you're on the first level, Anamaya, baby. What does the baby want to do? Drink milk from the mother and eat. When the baby gets a little bit bigger, 1 year old, 2 years old, he'll take everything, and how does he know what the thing is? He'll put it in his mouth. Whatever he, cell phone, anything, he'll just take and put in. So, oh, this is not to eat. Because he thinks everything is for eating. He sees the whole world and he thinks, food. He looks at his mother and he thinks, food. This mother is to eat. Mother is to drink. So that's the, we all go through these levels. We all were babies. And that was our goal of life. I want to eat. Just watch a small child that I gave. I was just in Mayapur. There was a little baby, not so small, 2 years, no, six, seven months old. And I gave her this ball. And what she did? First thing, you know, must be to eat. Because they see the whole world in terms of food. Food is everything. This is Anamaya. Then you get a little bit bigger, and you see other things are also interesting. Eating, sleeping, and then when you get to be over 20, then mating. You want to get married, you want a husband, and you want a wife. So, I'll talk about that again a little bit more later. And you think, oh, if you see the world in that terms, in different ways. Just like if you see, look at a forest. You're going, this is going in the forest. According to your worldview, your view of life, you'll see that forest differently. If you have the Anamaya view, you'll think, oh, maybe there's some fruits and flowers I can eat in this forest. If you have the Pranamaya, you're thinking, oh, this forest, I can build a house. Maybe I can live in this forest. Now, if you're in the Yanamaya, you're thinking, oh, this is a good place for meditation. Or maybe I can go and study, it's peaceful in the forest, let me go and study there. Or maybe we can do our music out in the forest, in nature, it's very nice to do music. And then if you go to the higher level and you see the forest, you think, oh, all these trees, they're all spirit souls. But now they have this covering of material energy. But actually, all of them, all these trees, all these animals, all these bugs, they're also spiritual beings. You see it in a different way. Now, if you have the highest goal, you see, oh, maybe we can make a temple in this forest. And these trees, they can be used in the service of Krishna. So that's how, when you have these different goals of life, you look at the world differently. You look in a very different way. So, now your students, you just think about exams. You think, I don't have time to go to the forest. I just have to study for my exam. Forget the forest. So that's Pranamaya, Gyanamaya. You start thinking, you start asking questions maybe about life. You know, why? purpose of life. And of course, you have your studies, you have your science, and they, even science, they try to figure out what is the origin of life. Biology, they have their different theories. Philosophy is more all what is the purpose of life, or why should we live? And then the arts are to also, there's a purpose. Many people think music is the purpose of life. If I can just hear some good music, I'm happy. And drawing, the arts. So it's a little bit of a higher level, on the mental level. So, now we have the Vijnanamaya. Again, I'm not this body. And the Anandamaya. We want to make a relationship with Krishna. So again, relationship. Let's talk about relationship in all these five different goals. In the first Anandamaya, your relationship is with food. And there are many people in this world, that's their only relationship they have is with food. And they show you, right? Their bodies. In America especially, you have 300 kg people for 250 kg people. So food is their relationship. Now in the second level, you widen your relationship. And that is, you can have relationship with other people, other human beings. And this category, let me see, oh, here it is. Now, because this is for girls, this class, so I'll talk a little bit about marriage. And I think most of you are not married, and you want to get married because that's what girls do in this world. And they want to get married, they want to have children. But many times you don't know how to go about it properly. So you can, you can write down marriage under this pranamaya. Family and marriage, that's also good. Marriage and family. So when you're looking, I'll just talk a little bit about this, not the whole class, but a little bit about preparation for marriage, and that is how to choose a good husband. So three things have to be compatible. It would be very helpful if you have three areas that are compatible with the other person. And roughly those three areas are past, present, and future. So compatibility of the past means that your husband would be very helpful if you're from the same culture, if you have the same upbringing. If you're a devotee, it would be helpful. If your husband is also a devotee, it would be very helpful. And then the second, in the past, would be your charts, your astrological charts. You see if they match. If they go together, then that's good. That's very good. So that's past. Now, present compatibility would mean that you can communicate honestly with the other person. Now, suppose the other person cannot express, or you're afraid to express yourself, that's not good. It should be compatible. You should be able to honestly and freely express your different feelings with each other. And that's present. Now, future means that you should have the same expectations. What you expect. You expect how many children you want, what kind of place you want, how you want to live, and do you want to work, or he must work, and the different roles in the family that you must do. So that's the future of compatibility. Now, another thing you can write here underneath pranamaya. Pranamaya is mostly everything's there. So we have dharma, artha, and kama. You know that? Dharma, artha, you can write dharma, artha, and kama. Now dharma means religion, religiosity. That how strictly you want to practice your Krishna consciousness. That should match. That should also match. And artha means money. How much money you think you need? recreation unit, that's all under this prana moya category. That's very, very important that we realize this is a necessity, this is the goal of life, and we have to make it Krishna conscious. And you can do that, it's very nice. You can have a wonderful family, a wonderful husband-wife relationship, and as long as you keep Krishna in the front. You must keep Krishna there, and if you don't, then it will be you and him alone together, just trying to struggle for existence and trying to figure it out. So it's much easier if you connect everything to the spiritual level. So dharma, artha, kama. Now you can write down under vijnana, moya, moksha, liberation. This is a very high goal of life. This means that your whole purpose in life is to become liberated from all the sufferings of this material world. Now in the Vedic literature we have these four goals: dharma, artha, kama, and moksha. Now if somebody, we have also different varnas and ashramas, the Varnashram Society. There are four different varnas, and the varnas are Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, and Shudra. Now in India, it's a little different because you do it by birth. You have your caste. You say, okay, caste should match. This caste, that caste. But actually, spiritually, there is also Varnashram, and that means not simply according to your birth, but according to your qualities. If you are born with the quality of a Brahmin, suppose you like to read books all the time, you like to study, you're just like, and you're not so, you're more in the mental level here, you're more in the jnana maya level. You want to just read books, you want to study, maybe you want to do puja also. If you're a devotee, you want to do puja, you want to teach, then you're more in the Brahmin level. Even your birth may be something else. But that is your quality. So that's actually what will make you happy in life, is to follow your nature. So the challenge of our life is to use our nature in these different categories and for the pleasure of Krishna, connect it with the last nature, and then everything becomes spiritual. Srila Prabhupada has said that food and eating, seeking, mating, defending, family, marriage, this dharma, artha, kama, if it's not connected to Krishna, it is zero. Food is zero, family is zero, dharma, artha, kama, zero, all of them are zero. If you put one in front of zero, so many zeros, then you get something very valuable. So you have family, you put one, you put Krishna in front, it becomes very valuable. The more people you have in the family, the more valuable it becomes. Because you have so many zeros, and then you put the one in front. If you have a big family, like seven people, then you have 7 zeros, that's a million. And you have, if you put Krishna in front. And if you have lots of money, or if you have a high education, in this world, they are valued very much. But if it is without a spiritual goal, without a spiritual connection, then unfortunately it is like a zero. So therefore, we want to spiritualize, we want to make all of our relationships very, very happy and very meaningful and lasting, not temporary. We don't want to just have one relationship today and another relationship tomorrow with somebody. We want to have eternal relationships. So if we want eternal happiness, then we have to connect with the highest level of Ananda Maya. So, Jnana Maya. Jnana Maya, you get so much knowledge. Now, I was talking to one lady who became a doctor today. She's in our Bhaktivedanta Hospital. And she told me, oh, I wasted so many years trying to be a specialist, a super specialist in medicine. I should have just taken the regular thing. And I married so late in life, and then I got my child late in life, I wish I had not taken all those extra years of education and had just settled down earlier. So this Gyanamaya, we have to watch. We have to watch, is this going to really help me? Is this something I really want to do with my life? Or am I just following blindly? The most important thing is to see, how can I make the connection with Ananda? How can I make the connection with happiness? How can I do my science in such a way that it will make me Krishna conscious? So the purpose of science, the real purpose, is to find out Krishna in that science. There is a new scientific theory, I don't know how new, it's called an intelligent design. Have any of you heard about that? Intelligent design theory. So that theory is that if you go to the smallest atoms, what is making up everything, you'll find that there is an intelligence behind it, who made that atom. It's very, very difficult for the atom to come just from nothing or from an explosion. So there are some scientists who are using their science in the service of Krishna. Jutakarma also, he has his book, Hidden Archaeology, where he shows that, they find a few bones and they think, well, it must be like this or it must be like that, but actually it's their imagination how it should be. Then there, we have the arts. Of course, Prabhupada, very quickly on, he had all of us singing and dancing and making pictures of Krishna, using the arts in a spiritual way. And if you do connect whatever you're doing with Krishna, then you will have eternal happiness. So what else do we have here? Thinking, feeling, and willing. Thinking, feeling, and willing. Now, suppose you have a loudspeaker and you connect the loudspeaker to your mind. And so everybody can hear what you're thinking. Would that be very interesting for everybody to hear?
Yes.
Would you like to do that? Very good. Our mind is not our friend. So therefore, if you connect a loudspeaker to your mind and everybody hears your thoughts, they'll think, whoa, I never knew she was thinking like that. That would be quite interesting. But some people, I have a few friends who can read minds, so when you're with people like that, you really have to control your mind, because they'll tell you what you're thinking. So good thing. Thinking, feeling, and willing. Now feeling, so thinking, how can you use your thinking in the highest, without mixing it with the highest goal of life? Okay, maybe some of you can give me an idea. Does anybody have some idea? How can you use your thinking to connect with Krishna? Is there any way you can do that? Yes? Go shopping for Krishna. Okay. Now, normally when you go shopping, what are you thinking? For me, I'm going to get some new clothes. And I can't wait to, oh, this will look so nice on me. But when you go shopping for Krishna, you think, wow, that cloth, I can just see it on Radharani. I can see it on Krishna. How it will look on Radha and Krishna. So, yes, that's how you your thinking in a high way. You decorate Krishna with all that beautiful cloth. Or suppose you see a flower, some flowers in the shop, and you think, let me smell that, like that. That's for you. No. So, but if you're a pujari, then you look at the flower and you think, oh, I can put that on Radharani's ear like this, or maybe I'll put it in her hand and she can give it to Krishna. Or put it here in Krishna's flute. I'll put that flower there. So you see the world in a whole different way. So this is part of thinking. Thinking for Krishna. Thinking, oh, wouldn't it be nice if my friend also got some prasadam? Let me bring some prasadam for this feeling for Krishna. You have your hand up? No. Is that pushy with your hand? No, you're just like this. Oh, sorry. Yes. Okay, Kamala Chandrabo used to say to Samita, use your ears for Krishna. Tears. Use your tears and cry for Krishna. Prabhupada said that too. When you chant Hare Krishna, you should cry when you're chanting and say, Krishna, please accept me. And we can use our feeling for Krishna. That is our mridyamaya now, anamaya, food. Food for Krishna is easy. You just offer it to Krishna, you will eat, and you will get spiritual food. So eating, we can spiritualize. Sleeping, you should all dream about Krishna now. And the way to do that is, before you go to sleep, you read something Krishna book. Prabhupada had us read Krishna book, you read Mahabharata, Ramayana, and then you will dream about Krishna. You will dream spiritual dreams or the deities, you will dream about the deities, Radha Krishna. One time when I was Pujari, I was having dreams about the deities. I was taking care of Radha Govinda. And one time I had a dream where the deities came off the altar and they were just playing around on the floor. And I said, and it was time for Shringarati. And I said, listen, you have to go back. They're not going to understand. You have to go back on the altar. These people will not accept that you're down here playing. You have to go up, back, go back. So that's, you can sleep for Krishna. Like that, you dream. And also, sometimes you get bad dreams. And if you get a bad dream, the best thing to do is to chant Hare Krishna in that dream. And all the people who are chasing you, they will go away. Or if you might have even, you might be dying in your dream, and you go Hare Krishna, and then you wake up and say, oh, it was a dream, it's okay. So, and that happened. My son, when he was 4 years old, used to have bad dreams about demons, Rakshasas. He would see them, he would describe them to me, different colors, different shapes. So I taught him to chant Hare Krishna. So the first time he said, yeah, okay, last night the demon came, I chanted Hare Krishna. I said, so then what happened? He said, then the demon just exploded, like that. So you can sleep for Krishna, but not during your chanting. You don't sleep during your, while you're chanting for, you, when you're chanting, you chant for Krishna. But at night, when you're supposed to sleep, then you can sleep for Krishna. That's the time. When you normally sleep, not during Bhagavatam class or during Japa or anything else. No, you should sleep for Krishna. Eating, sleeping, mating, defending. Yes, you can have children for Krishna. And then there's a process called Garbhadham Samskara. You have to chant 50 rounds before you have the time of conception. You chant 50 rounds, husband and wife. Then you will attract a soul that's pure soul to come as your child. And you both chant 50 rounds So that's called Garbhadham Samskara. If you do this Garbhadham Samskara, making for Krishna, then you will get a child who is a saintly person. And that child will help you in your spiritual life. Just like my son again. Now he's 27 years old, but I'm a mother, so I'm still attached, and I'm still trying to tell him what to do. And he says, Mom, listen, I'm 27 years old now. I can take care of myself. He's got a wife and family. And he said, and anyway, you're supposed to be Krishna conscious. You're supposed to be detached, aren't you? Okay. You win. You win that argument. So, yeah, your child will help you to become detached and to become Krishna conscious in this life, especially if you have a child. If you do this, Garbhadham Samskara, and you can have pure children. You can bring children into this world who will save the world. And save you as well, of course. They will save you, they will save the whole world. So this is mating for Krishna, and then we have family life for Krishna. in spiritual life. They help remind each other of Krishna. They help serve Krishna. That's family, marriage, and karma, artha, kama. That's covered. Making money for Krishna also. And when you have a family, then you charity is for the grihasthas, to give money to charity. So when you give money in charity, then you purify all your money. Otherwise, the money that you make may take you down. It may cause anxiety. It may cause fighting in the family. Just the money itself. The way to purify it is to give in charity to devotees, to Krishna consciousness, and for different functions, for marriage. If somebody dies, you make a feast. If you're going to have children before that, you have a feast. Not for the brahmacharis, but you have a feast for sannyasis. You invite them and say, okay, we're going to have a child, we want to have a child, and we want you to bless us. So all of it, everything can be spiritualized, even these other levels of realization. And then we have jnana maya. Yes, we were talking about feeling. So feeling, how to feel for Krishna. That when we chant the holy name, we can cry. Like, have any of you seen some small babies crying for their mother? Now, the mother can tell if the baby's serious or not. Sometimes the baby just cries for no reason. And the mother can tell, but when the cry is genuine. So Krishna can tell when our cry for him is genuine. Please accept me. Please help me. Please give me your association. I want to see you. I want to be with you. Like George Harrison. Maybe you heard about George Harrison. He has a song called My Sweet Lord. I really want to be with you, but it's taking so long, my Lord. I just want to be with you. So this is a feeling for Krishna. Feeling, when you go into the temple and you see the deities, you feel, oh, I am with Krishna now. He's so beautiful. Let me try to speak some words of appreciation. Let me pray to him. Let me glorify him. Let me chant his name. So this is feeling for Krishna. Thinking, feeling, and willing. Now, how can we do willing for Krishna? What does that mean? Willing for Krishna. Does everybody know what is the word willing means? It means you decide to do something. You have a decision. You make a decision. I will do this. So what could be an example of willing for Krishna? What kind of decision could we make about doing something for Krishna? I think these ladies over here, they're making this outfit. They decided, okay, today I will help with this flower outfit for the deities. That's willing for Krishna. All the ladies over there making the flower decoration, they are willing for Krishna. They are doing service for Krishna. What is another example of willing, doing something? Bring your children close to Krishna. Okay? Yeah, I want to bring my children close to Krishna. All the children. You want to bring all of Krishna's children, so we're all Krishna's children. Yeah, not just the small ones. The big ones are also Krishna's children too. The mothers are also Krishna's children. The fathers also. So that's nice. That's a very nice desire. Willing, another way to explain willing means desire. That we have desire to do something. I desire to do this, I desire to do that. So it's really nice. A devotee, like Srila Prabhupada, when he would see people, he would look at people, he would think, oh, they're suffering. Let me help them. Let me connect them with Krishna. Just like sometimes in Vrindavan, I'm in the temple and chanting, and I see a small child, like 2 years old, 3 years old. They lost their mother, they lost their father. They're just wandering around and looking and looking. First they start looking, then they start crying and crying. And then you take the child and you go to one person. Is this your mother?
No.
You give him a sweet. Nothing makes the child happy. Only when you finally find a mother is the child happy. So all of us in this world are like that baby. We're my somebody who is not connected with Krishna, then he says, oh, let me help this person, let me bring him back to his real mother and his real father. That happens so many times in our Vrindavan temple. Just small children get lost. Even big children, even like 8, 9 years old, they start crying too. Because it's a big crowd and they lose their parents. So that's how the devotee sees. So, let me see. I'll tell you something Prabhupada said about the level of Gyanamaya science. A great scientist should endeavor to prove the existence of the Lord on a scientific basis. So that is our Swarup Damodar. He was a PhD and he wrote a book, Scientific Basis of Krishna Consciousness. And now actually science is going in the direction of consciousness studies. And there, before then, nobody would accept there is such a thing in science as consciousness. Now they're starting to accept that idea that there is consciousness. Arts, that is very easy. Music, dance, I think we're supposed to have a dance today also, if I'm not mistaken. And if you are an artist and you can paint pictures, and if you want to make films, yes, also, you can make films for Krishna. You can be an actress or actor for Krishna, because we have actresses here, no actors, but that's okay. You can be an actress, you can be a director, a producer, a writer. You can write Krishna conscious movies, actually. And I think that even some of the movies nowadays are going in the direction of God, at least, maybe not Krishna. But actually there is one called Avatar. I saw it. The star of the show is blue. So I think they must have read about Krishna. And Avatar is definitely a Krishna conscious word. It means the Lord who descends. Incarnation. And he might be, he had Tilak too. I don't remember. I don't know if anyone saw that movie. He has Tilak, yeah. He has Tilak. Okay, there you go. So even if the movie wasn't Krishna conscious, but it still gives you some. Makes people start to think, well, maybe, you know, blue people do exist, you know. Like Krishna exists. He's blue. He's blue. He's beautiful, bluish color. Tila. So maybe that film was made by a devotee, who knows. Or somebody who read Prabhupada's books, Avatar. And it was about a different world. Of course, he was more like a monkey, I think. I don't know. More like Hanuman idea. He had a tail, no? I guess it was a mixture of Rama and Krishna. Actually, we will talk tomorrow on Lord Chaitanya's appearance day about the six-armed form of Lord Chaitanya. That how he has six arms. Two of them holding the water pot and sannyasa danda. Two of them holding the flute as Krishna, and two with a bow and arrow as Rama. Now that's the fourth level. We're going to move up to the fourth level. And this is about the soul. Now, Srila Prabhupada, one time I went to visit a college that is where they teach MIT. Now, here you have IIT. You have many IT institutions. So that was MIT in America. And Prabhupada, he said, so, where is your department of technology to understand the difference between a dead body and a living body? Where is your department of the soul? And they said, oh, Swamiji, not in MIT. Not in IIT. You won't find a department of the soul. That is not there. And it's quite amazing because that is who we are. We are soul. So that should be the main topic of study. Instead of studying the real thing, who we really are, we're studying something who we are not, this body, this mind. These things we are not. But that's the main thing you study about in school. And then at the time of death, finished. So it's good if you study about the soul, that is called Vijnanamaya. Soul study, Brahman study, Brahman realization. What else is written there? Moksha. You have heard about him. No, he came to India, actually. He conquered part of India, I believe, when he was on his tour. But he got some association on the way of the sages when he came to India. And there is one story about him, that he was going on the road, and in the middle of the road, there was one sage sitting in meditation. And Alexander was a very intelligent person, and he realized, oh, here is the saintly person. So he got down, he went in front of the saintly person, and he said, is there anything I can do for you? And the saintly person said, can you just please move away? You're blocking the sun. This is all I want you to do, just move, please. So, you know, then he understood, you know, the sage, he doesn't care for all of my money, all of my fame, all of my glory, all of my things, he doesn't care. So Alexander, at the time of death, he had some realizations. And just before he died, he told his generals, I have three wishes. After I die, I want you to do these three things for me, right after I die. Best doctors to carry my coffin, my dead body. They should carry my coffin. You know, coffin in the West, they bury the body. So it's like, here they carry on the stretcher, you know, so it's different. But there, he said, I want the best doctors to carry. Second wish, all my money, all my wealth, all my jewels should be scattered on the road, on the way when I'm going to the cemetery. All of my money should be scattered on the road. Second wish. Third wish. I want my hands to hang loose outside of my coffin for everyone to see. Now, isn't that, aren't those interesting wishes? Now, so I will ask you, first of all, why did he say, I want the best doctors to carry my coffin? Who can, yes?
Because even the best doctors cannot save you.
Even the best doctors cannot save you in time of death, yes. So he is trying to tell people, just see, here are the best doctors, they could not save me. Very good. Now, wish number two, all the money should be scattered on the ground on the way to the cemetery. Why? Why should all the money be thrown? Yes?
When you die, it's not really any of that.
Right. It's you. It stays on earth. All the money you got will stay on the earth when you leave. So, number three, the hand should be hanging loose outside so everybody can see. Why? Why the hands? Yes? Exactly. You go empty-handed from this world. So, isn't that very interesting? Desires of last three desires he had on his deathbed. Yes. Prahlad Maharaj says on the first one about the doctors that whatever remedies they give you, they cannot protect you unless Krishna says yes, the medicine won't work. If Krishna says no, your medicine won't work. And if it's your time to die, the doctors cannot do anything. You cannot, you know, and Prabhupada often challenged. He challenged the doctors, he challenged the scientists. Okay, now this person, you say that death means some chemicals are missing. So get those missing chemicals and bring them back to life. If some chemicals are missing, get those which chemicals are missing now, you give them, bring the person, give injection, and bring the body back to life. It's not the chemicals, it's the soul that's missing from the body, not the chemicals. So, the treasure we cannot take. Actually, what we do take something with us at the time of death, and that is our good and our bad deeds. That goes with us. If we have lived a very sinful life and we have been making money by sinful means, that will be our ticket to the lower planets. If we have been doing good things, we will get a ticket to the heavenly planets. And if we have been serving Krishna and doing spiritual things, We'll go out of this world and back to the spiritual world and don't come back. And live eternally. The age of the spiritual world is 16. Even 12. Even 10. We are very young, and we are called Kishore. In the spiritual world, everyone is Kishore. Everyone is very, very young and beautiful. So that is our nature, and that's why we don't want to get sick, because it's against our nature. We don't want to get old. It's against our nature. We don't want to die, because it's against our nature. We're meant to live eternally, full of happiness and full of knowledge. So, Vigyana Boya means Alexander the Great. We have some of this understanding that he was not the body. And he said, actually, there is one thing which is most valuable and the most precious treasure of all that you have in this life. One word, actually. There's one word that Alexander said, this is our most precious treasure. He was not a devotee, so it's not going to be a devotional word. But it's a very interesting word that he chose. And that word is, before I tell you, who gets, anybody have an idea?
What could
be our most valuable treasure? Yes, you got it. Very good. Time. Time is our most valuable treasure. Because if you give your time to somebody, you're giving your life to somebody. Quality time. Now they say in the modern psychology, modern whatever, they say time, quality, you must give quality time. So we say that, give quality time to Krishna. He's sitting waiting for you. He's just sitting there in your heart and he's waiting for you to give him quality time. And he's going to wait forever. He's not going to leave you. He's your best friend. He's going to sit there and he's going to wait until you give him quality time. They say that for families. You should give your children quality time. So quality time means you listen to them and communicate. And also, our little demigoddesses have come. Who are you? Bhumi? Okay. I couldn't hear your names, but I'm sure they're very nice names.
Bhumi and Naisha.
Bhumi and Naisha. Okay, very good. So very soon we will see how we can use the arts in the service of Krishna. And so time. So then, Alexander, his realization was that time, why is time our most precious treasure? Because it's limited. It's not unlimited. We have a very limited amount of time. And as students, you can realize that you don't have enough time. And as family people, as mothers, fathers, parents, you don't have enough time to do everything you want to do in life. Time is the most precious treasure. So when we give someone our time, we give someone a portion of our life that we cannot get back. So it's a very, very valuable thing to give your time. So this is what Alexander says, and this was the last thing he said before he died. The best present you can give your family and friends, including me, is your time. May God grant you plenty of time, and may you have the wisdom to give it away so you can live, love, and die in Gyanamaya, Gyanamaya. It can be also Gyanamaya, that is willing, can be under the category of willing and Gyanamaya level, that how to use your time. I want to use my time in a very good way. So, of course, for us, the best use of time is to spiritualize it. Chant Hare Krishna, very good. Chant Hare Krishna, make garlands for Krishna like these ladies are doing. They are buying their tickets back to Godhead, to the spiritual world, by service of Krishna. You use your valuable time in his service. You save your time. You save your time. Try to use it in Krishna's service. So Ananda Maya, when we go to the highest level, then we can experience real love. There is an exchange of love on the Ananda when you what somebody, suppose somebody said, I love you, what do they love? They want to enjoy you. That's what they love. When they enjoy you, then they love you. And if you don't make them happy, then they don't love you anymore. So it's temporary. But real love is eternal. And the real love is based upon the soul. Soul. Love soul to soul. And finding your soulmate, even that is in the modern language. But the real soulmate has to be spiritual, because soul is spiritual. Soulmate is not body mate. Actually, when they talk soulmate, what they mean is body mate. I found my body mate that matches my body. But actually, this is not the real relationship. It's a temporary relationship based on some person you haven't ever seen. Because when the soul leaves the body, have you seen the soul? No, you don't know what the soul looks like. You don't know what the person looks like. All you know what it looks like is the body. What happens to the body? It goes and gets burnt. So that was not the person. You never really saw the person. So we want to experience soul-to-soul relationships, and that is all based on having a relationship with the Supreme Soul, Lord Krishna. And if you have that relationship, then all your relationships become very happy. Very, very happy relationships. And that will keep you. Because in this life there will always be problems, there will be storms, and even in your relationships in this world, especially in your relationships in this world, there will be storms. So how to go through those storms? You need to think, feel, and will on a spiritual level, and then you can bring the relationship up to a spiritual level, and then it can be eternal happiness. The husband can take the wife back to Godhead, the wife can take back to Godhead, the children can take the parents back to Godhead. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati says that if you become a pure devotee, high devotee, then 100 generations of your family before, 100 generations of your family after, they will all get liberation. You all get freedom from suffering in this world. And if you become a middle devotee, that means like a preacher, preaching, then 14 generations before, 14 generations after, they will all become purified and liberated. And you just become a beginning devotee. Not such a great one, just a little bit you do. 3 generations before will get liberated. 3 generations after, your grandfather, your great-grandfather, your mother, father, you will liberate them. Just start chanting Hare Krishna. Just take some prasadam. Just do a little seva, and you can liberate your family and yourself, of course. I mean, it's not like Prabhupada said we don't have an export business, that we send everybody back and we don't go. We also go. It's not like you liberate everyone and you're still stuck here in the material world. another body, and it may not even be a human body. It may be a dog or a cat body. So the point is that don't misuse your time in this body. It's very limited. And now we have the chance, because we have a human form of life, we have such a great opportunity to get free. The soul wants freedom. The soul wants to get free from the cage and have a spiritual body. So if we use our time in that way, then we can make progress. We don't have to come back to this endless cycle of this body, that body, this body, that body. We go straight and we get a spiritual body. Okay? Very good question. Very smart question. Yes?
Maybe.
line of the battle where they dig into the ground, everybody producing God. And that was the experience of one of our soldiers in Iraq, who was a devotee. He was a devotee. His name was Artha Sarati. And he was in front lines in Iraq fighting. So he would be chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Other soldiers, what are you saying? How do you go? Oh yeah, okay, I'll chant too, you know. He says, this will save you, this will protect you. But some of them, they were not, you know, he was running after them with the books and they were running away from him. You know, he would try to chase them and give them Bhagavad Gita, some of his own soldiers. So one of them was like that. Then finally his time of death came, a bomb exploded and he was dying. And then he asked, okay, tell me what was in your book. And so, yes, time of death will be our final exam. Now you have your little exams, but they are preparation. Now the real exam is after you leave your college, after you leave your studies, the life exam, the school of life. We are all in the school of life, not just the students, also the teachers, also the parents, everybody's in the school of life. So we all have our exams in that school of life. Everything in life is meant to teach you something, some lesson. So we have to learn when something happens to us that's difficult, that, okay, so this is something is given to me by Krishna. The real attitude is this is the mercy of Krishna. Now I may not understand why this is happening, but later on I will, and I can say very truthfully that this has happened in my life so many times that things happen I don't understand. Then like 10 years, 5 years later, I look back and I say, wow, that was the best thing that happened to me. I can see how the Lord has his wisdom, how Krishna has his wisdom. So that when you do get tested in life, when life doesn't go the way you want it to go, then you have something to fall back on. You have a spiritual strength. You have something inside you that's so strong, nothing can shake you in this life. The hurricanes of life, they will not do anything because you'll be so firm and steady in your consciousness, in your meditation on Krishna, in your spiritual being, in your spiritual nature. So the more you chant and hear and do service for Krishna, the more fixed you will be, and the hurricanes of life and all the difficulties, they will not disturb you. They will not affect you. So we must always keep the highest goal in mind, Anandamaya, connection with Krishna. And then if we put all of these other less lower goals in contact, then it becomes also the highest goal. It becomes part of the highest yoga or Krishna consciousness. Any other questions?